preacher. If you have your Bible, open up with us, Matthew chapter number 14. Thank you, preacher. It is a blessing. It's a real blessing to be here. And boy, I can say it. I can say it without a shadow of a doubt. And I tell you what, I've enjoyed. I'm bouncing like a ball bearing on a Pac-Man machine. You know, I mean, I'm just all kinds of things I want to say. But I would have drove all the way from North Carolina to Florida to hear two words. Hear that old man of God over there say, "Oh God. Oh God." Amen. Hallelujah. I've enjoyed it. About to get just a little bit religious here. And but I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I've enjoyed every message. I enjoyed the message tonight. And you know, I don't know if you realize it or not, that holy, totally yielded, committed, that means 100%. You say, preacher, you say, "I am 99.9% committed to God." Then you are totally 100% uncommitted. It's either all or nothing. Amen. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I wouldn't want to miss any of it. And if you missed it, then you just missed. I don't know if you ever thought about this, Thomas. Thomas missed one of the greatest days, missed one service. Just one service. You say, "Well, preacher," you say, "big deal. You ain't gonna miss nothing." Thomas missed one service, and he missed the breath of God. He's the only one that Jesus did not breathe upon. You know why? He had somewhere else he needed to be besides where he should have been. And I know exactly what the pastor was saying when he said this. I believe it was last night. He's sitting there, because I've done it many a time, preacher. Man, if that family was here, because that's what they needed. That's what they needed to hear, but they wasn't there to get. I believe a lot of God, and sometimes justified and unjustified, when you miss church, you may miss your opportunity to get your prayers answered. You need to be in church every time the lights is on, the doors is open. Amen. We only cancel one service out of the year. And we don't really cancel it. We just pull it together on homecoming. They can stay all day if they want to. And but I mean, it don't matter. I mean, if hurricane comes through, I mean, if a tornado comes through, and I understand Florida's different from North Carolina, and because of the temperature, the air conditioning, I understand all of that. But the lights is on. I got a four-wheeler. I've got a tractor. I got two legs, and I live close enough to walk. By the grace of God, the lights will be on, or if the lights ain't on, the doors will be open. You say, "Why is that?" I don't want to take a chance in missing something from the Lord. Amen? And I want to say it has been a blessing. Look at your Bible. I want to preach, and I realize it's already late. Preacher, what time are you wanting me done? 35, 40 minutes? Okay, 45. Y'all heard him. All right. I want to preach. And if you want to sum up everything this whole week, everything that's gone on, and I know, and I'm not belittling. I mean, Brother Scotty Drake, one of my best friends, Help Ministries, the work this brother is doing there in New Mexico with the Indians, I mean, it's a blessing. And Brother Humberto, the work that he's done there with the Bible, the brother over here that works with the printing ministry, Dr. Carter, and all that's gone on. If you was to sum every bit of that up into one thing, it would just simply be this: the touch of God. The touch of God. A few weeks ago, my grandson was driving down the road, and you never lose, you never want to miss a teaching opportunity. Anytime you're driving down the road, you got your children, you got your grandchildren with you, you always take a teaching. I mean, you see something, you take an opportunity to plant a seed in that young heart and that young mind. We was coming down the road, and I passed this church, and I preach repetitiously over and over and over and over again. Looks can deceive. I mean, not everything that glitters is gold, and not everything that sparkles is diamonds. Sometime a young girl come up and she'll say, "Oh, Pastor, look at that. Look, my boyfriend gave me a diamond ring and he said he loved me and we're going to get married. I'm not 14, he's 21. And he gave me this diamond ring." I said, "Sis, that's a zirconian. It ain't real. He's got a trunk full of them." You say, "How do you know that?" I had a few of them in the back of my GTO when I was lost. Not everything that sparkles, girls, is diamonds. And not everything that glitters is gold. There are such things as iron pyrite. You know what that is? That's fool's gold. And you cannot just look at the appearance of something and just take a total judgment on it. We was driving down the road, and we passed this church. And by the way, some of the most sophisticated hell holes on the world has got steeples on top of them. Just because a man has a coat and a tie and carries a Bible, quote Bible in it, that does not make him a preacher. Just because the church got a steeple on top doesn't make it one of God's churches. And I asked my grandson, I passed the church, and they had a sign out there. And the sign said this: "Everybody you meet is a child of God." And I said, "Brantley, did you see that sign?" He said, "What, Papa?" I said, "Did you read that church sign?" He said, "What?" I said, "That sign." He turned around and read it. And I said, "According to that sign right there, ain't nobody lost. Everybody's saved." I mean, according to that sign right there, we might as well throw our Bibles in the garbage can. Help me out, folks. I mean, if that sign is true, then Jesus Christ is one of the greatest liars that ever walked on 2 feet. Because that's not what the Lord Jesus said. Jesus said in John 8:44, "Ye are of your father, the devil." And he was talking to that religious crowd. And he said, "The lust of your father you'll do." Hey, here's an eye-opening thought. Not everybody is a child of God. If you've never been saved, you've never been born again, you've never been touched by the hand of God, you are not a child of God. You are a child of the devil. And you're going to follow the footsteps of your father straight to hell and the lake of fire. Amen? Hey, I want to tell you, you say, "I go to a church, and the church I go to, it ain't like that Landmark Baptist church with that narrow-minded, bigoted, homophobic, anti-Muslim. It ain't like that Dr. Carter that's just, I mean, we go to a church where our pastor, he wears his little pink shirt and his little flip-flop shoes and Bermuda shorts. And our pastor says that everybody is a child of God. And, you know, the brotherhood of God and the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of men. And, you know, there ain't no hell. And everybody say, listen to me. It ain't God's fault if you go to the wrong stinking church. And it ain't God's fault if you're following the wrong stinking preacher. And it ain't God's fault if you're listening to the wrong stinking Bible. And it ain't God's fault if you follow him straight to hell. If the blind lead the blind, they're both going to fall into the ditch. Amen? You say, "Well, preacher," you say, who is the children of God? Those that's been touched by the hand of the Master. I had a lot of illustrations, but I'm not going to get into them. I'm just going to move right on into the message. The theme of this week has just simply been, just armor up. Armor up. I want to tell you something. You ain't never going to conquer. You ain't never going to win. You ain't never going to take them mountains without the touch of God on your life. Somebody one time, the word unction in your King James Version Bible is only found one time. Somebody asked an old colored preacher one time, said, what does unction mean? He said, well, I doesn't know what it is, but I sure do know when I ain't got it. The touch of God. I'm going to give you the outline. You can write this down because I'm going to zip through it and I will be through. I'm like a mule headed to the barn. I want to go home and see mama. Amen. Let me just say this, I appreciate the room, the house, all the ladies, the food. Dr. Carter, thank you for giving me the privilege to be here. And I have already gleaned and enjoyed everything. Here's the outline. You can write it down. The touch of God in suffering, verses 1 through 12. Well, I tell you what, when you're suffering, you need the touch of God. Number two, the touch of God in satisfying that hunger, verses 13 through 21. Number three, the touch of God in the storm. Anybody here in the storm? Oh, praise God, everything's going good. Yeah. You in the storm? Verses number 22 through 25. The touch of God and a servant doubting. Verse number 28. I might land on that one a little bit. The touch of God and the Son of God in worship. In verses 33. And then the touch of God in sickness. Verse 34 and 36. You need a touch? You need a touch? You know what? You know what we need more than we need to get rid of Obamacare? You know what we need more? And I voted for Trump. Amen. I voted for him. I sure didn't vote for little Miss Piggy. That's all right. It don't matter to me one bit. I'm going to. Unless this man tells me not to. And that car knows how to go north as well as south. Amen. You know what? You know what we need? We need a touch. The touch of God. Look in your Bible. Matthew chapter 14, look in verse 34, and I'm going to ask my friend, Brother Carl Pepper, to lead us in prayer. The Bible said, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. When the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Brother Carl, why don't you stand and pray for me, brother? Amen. Yes. Oh, Father. God, help us. Yes. Yes. I'm taking my main text, and I will be if I had the time. I don't have the time, so I'm not going to be able to read the entire chapter. If I get to it in time, I will just highlight just the main parts of it. But I'm taking as my main thought in verse number 34 down to about verse number 36 of chapter number 14 of the book of Matthew. And I just want to preach to you just for a little while. And I was struggling. I preach this. I never preach anything at another church that I don't preach at my church first. If it ain't good enough for my folks, it ain't good enough for anybody. Amen. But I was wrestling about this, and I thought about touching Jesus. And then I thought about he touched me. I liked that one. But then I felt like the Lord wanted me to title the message, The Touch of God. I don't know about you, but I thank God. I thank God that the God that we serve, he's a God that's able to touch and move on the hearts and the lives of his people. And I believe with all my heart and with all my mind, I believe if we need anything in these last days, right before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean in this day, in this age of apostasy, falling away, this lukewarm, Laodicean, unfaithful, uncommitted age that we are living in, I believe we need the touch of a holy God. We need the touch of God in our hearts, in our homes, our lives, our land, our country, our churches. Can I say this? We need the touch of God in our pulpits and in the hearts and the lives of the men of God. And I want to say, I believe with all my heart and with all my mind, God still has men of God in this Laodicean day that we're living in. Amen. And I want to tell you, there ain't nothing. I said there ain't nothing will ever take the place of an old-fashioned touch of the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, and by the way, that is not Pentecostal. That's not charismatic. That is Bible. Amen. We need the touch of God Almighty. Now, please don't misunderstand. Brother Chad, I agree with you. Glean everything you can get from that old man of God. Not old, but old man of God. You glean. Hey, there ain't nothing wrong with letting good characteristics rub off on you. I mean, I've got certain mentors that this same thing has happened to me. But I'll tell you something. God never made two preachers alike. Boy, it's one of the best things you'll ever learn. God doesn't have a little cookie cutter when it comes to preachers. A-ka-ching, ka-ching, 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 a-ka-ching, ka-ching, a-ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. We're all different. Every brother Humberto ever won, there is not another Humberto Gomez. Brother, there's not another one. I can't remember your name, but there's not a, thank God there's not another Scotty Drake. There's not another Dr. Mickey Carter, and I know I can get amen on this. Ain't another one of me. You say, what are you saying? Be yourself. I mean, develop your own style. Be your own man. I mean, have your own kind of delivery. You don't have to mimic. You do not have to imitate. You don't have to try to be like Jack Hiles or anybody else. Be what God wants you to be. But I want to tell you something. I don't care who you are. You ain't never. There's one thing that unites every man of God in this building, and that is this: the touch of God. Nothing will ever take the place of old-fashioned Holy Ghost. I'm talking about unctionized anointing. I'm talking about the touch of God and the power of God and the presence of God. Hey, I'm not against education. Brother, I heard you when you was talking this morning about your education. I got just a couple more years than you do. I graduated from high school with honors. You say, what honor? It was an honor to graduate. I hated school. And I'm glad, and I, to this day, I still hate school. But I want to tell you something. What we are living in our fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, King James Version, and I'm all that. What of our problem is, we're trying to supplement education. Nothing wrong with it. We're trying to supplement new cards. You know, the casual, contemporary. We're trying to supplement emotion. Oh, praise God. Dance and praise Jesus. We're trying to supplement everything. Everything. Boys, you listen to me. Ain't nothing going to take the place. There ain't nothing ever going to, preacher, am I okay? There ain't nothing ever going to take the place of that old-fashioned Holy Ghost. Hey, I'm so, no, Not everybody has to be just like me, but I want to tell you, I like that old leather lung thunder. I like that old pulpit pounding. I like that old stomping, pulpit pounding, shingle rattling, devil hating, sin destroying preaching that has got the touch and the power of the Holy Ghost. The touch of God, the touch of God. And I got some good news for you, friend. Praise God, the Lord still a passing by. I said the Lord is still a passing by. Thank God, I'm glad that same Jesus 2,000 years ago that died on the cross, rose again from the dead, he's still passing by in our day and time, and the saints of God and sinners can reach out that hand of faith and touch. Hey, we can have the touch of God upon our life. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad. I'm glad 43 years ago, I remember, pardon me if I reminisce. I will never forget the night, Brother Manuel, when Jesus passed by my way. I can tell you the time. I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by his wonderful grace. Hey, I want to tell you that night, June the 26th, 1975, 43 years ago, I mean, a young 21-year-old boy lost my sin. Didn't know nothing about God. My daddy was a Christian out of the will of God because he saved the marriage, because my mama was a devoted Kingdom Hall Jehovah's Witness. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about the Bible. But I want to tell you, when I met my girlfriend. I ain't going to get in. I could get started in that because she ain't here. But I want to tell you something. With this internet mess, ain't nothing. I can say something right here. She can be listening to it right now. So I have to be very careful what I say. You say, why? Because a woman can take rat droppings and mouse droppings and make it look like black pepper. You do not, hey boys, I give you some good advice. You do not want to tick mama off. Amen. But my wife, I met her when she was 16. I was 16. She was 15. I got married, and y'all don't do this. I got married at 18. She was 17. Too old, too young. Don't do that. You say, well, preacher, yours made it. Yeah, I know, but mine was a miracle from God. I wasn't even saved. Amen? I remember my mother-in-law. God help, I remember on that first date, she looked like Godzilla. Son. I mean, that woman could kill you, just like that, snap your neck. And she said, if you're going to date my daughter, you're going to church. So I went to church. Make a long story short, after 2 years of dating and marrying, about a year of marriage, I went to church. Life messed up, life wrecked and ruined. Preacher, I remember the message a preacher preached on three reasons why you need to get saved. Number one, you can't be happy. Number two, you can't go to heaven. Number three, you'll go to hell. I want to tell you that night. You know what old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction is? That's when the Holy Ghost wrung me out over the flames of hell. I seen myself as a sinner, lost, dying, and going. What are you saying, preacher? He just passed by my way. You say, oh, preacher, you just got a little touch of religion. You just joined the Baptist church and got baptized. Hey, listen, I'm glad God, and I'm full-blooded Baptist. From the tip of that one little hair to the tip of that little toe, I am 100% Baptist. But I want to tell you, I'm glad God got a hold of me, preacher, before the Baptist did. You say, oh, you got a little touch of religion. My foot, I didn't get a little touch of religion. Praise God, I got a touch of old-fashioned Holy Ghost, life-changing, soul-saving, sin-forgiving, salvation. Hey, I got touched. I said, I got touched by the church said? Well, he got touched. He got touched. I got touched in the head. He gone crazy. No, I didn't get touched. I got touched. Boy, I'm glad to tell you tonight, thank God he's still passing by. I said he's still passing by. Amen. I got about 6 points I'm going to give them to you real quick. Number one, I want to tell you, we need the touch of God in suffering. You read, I'm not going to take time because I don't have time for it, but you read in chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, you'll find there a man by the name of John the Baptist. Now, I mean, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure this thing out. Oh, John's going through hell by the acre. Son, I want to tell you, he's in prison getting ready to get his head cut off. Now, John is one of my, he's one of my heroes. I like old John. I like, he's a man. He looked like a man, walked like a man, talked like a man. Honest to goodness, I get so sick, preacher, I'm just fed up with this bunch of sissy-fied, girly boys. Oh, if you have your Bibles, I want you to open, I want to share with you just a little bit of the, how we are to love. Folks, I'm all for love, but I don't tell you, we've loved the generation straight to hell. We just love everybody. We just come together under the umbrella of love. Hey, it don't matter if you're Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Baptist, Catholic. I mean, we just, it don't matter if you're LGBT. It don't matter if you're a man or woman, or you don't even know what you are. It don't matter. I mean, we just come together and we just lock arms together and we just dance and praise Jesus and we just love. I am so fed up with a sissified girl. Hey, are you listening to me? You and have never found a coexisting sign on the back of John the Baptist Camelback. And you'd have never found a rainbow flag on the back of his Mustang either. I still have a problem. Every time I see one of them rainbows on the back of a car, that car, every time I see that, I want to go, wah! Just throw up all over. You'd have never seen John the Baptist with a pink shirt on, with his Bermuda shorts. Can you imagine him walking in there looking at Herod and he's saying, oh, praise God, Herod. John the Baptist walked in. I can imagine the manicured ministers and the puppet preachers and the playboy preachers, and they all come out there and they say, now, John, you're gonna see the king, John. And he ain't going down there to the river with a bunch of harlots and a bunch of dope addicts and a bunch of liquor drinking fountain. You're gonna go see the king, John. Now, John, now you know, if you play your cards right, he might promote you to the World Council of Churches, the leader. You might even be the first pope, John. Really, if you'll play your cards right. I mean, just go in there and be nice and be kind and tolerant and sensitive and just be nice. John said, I got you, man, I got you. And he walked in there. And all of a sudden he looked and he seen old King Herod. And sitting next to him was Herodias, his brother Philip's wife that he had stole. Let me just give you some little bit of advice. Any man that will steal his brother's wife will mess with his brother's daughter. Did you just get what I just said? He looked down, old John, there old Herod was sitting next to Herodias, and about that time the Holy Ghost come upon him, and I'm just paraphrasing, and all of a sudden he said he just stole his brother's wife. And about that time, old John, he felt the hair come up on his back. Like a junkyard dog after an old yellow tomcat in a junkyard. And all of a sudden that hair frizzed up like that. And all of a sudden them veins popped out on the side of his head. And all of a sudden he walked up to old King Herod, stuck that bony finger right in his face and said, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Herodias busted a gut, split five zippers. I mean, mud caking all down her face. I mean, she said, preacher, I'm going to have your head for that. They took old John, put him in prison. You know the story. One day, Herodias, as is the mother, so is the daughter. Not every time, but most of the time, if the mother's wicked, daughter's going to be wicked. Amen. And on his birthday, she came out dancing, like dancing with the sluts. You say, preacher, I love that. That's what this altar's for. I mean, I've just watched the commercial. God help, man. You have to ask God. You have to go take a bath just to see the stinking commercials.
Yeah. Yep. That's right.
Amen. I mean, you ever heard of a lap dance? I mean, she went there. Ta, 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 ta. And before you know it, old Herod's eyeballs are bulging out like that. His tongue is a flopping down like that. And he said, I'll give you anything growing up to the half of the kingdom. She had already been talked to her by her evil mother and said, I want John the Baptist's head in a platter. John got his head cut off. You say, preacher, that ain't no problem with me. Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm talking to some of the cream of the crop here. You can't even go to church 3 times a week. You can't read your Bible every day. You can't pray every day. You can't tithe. You can't give to me. And you're going to, well, I'll get my head cut off. My foot, you won't get your head cut off. Amen. You saw a preacher. I mean, I guarantee you, preacher, I guarantee there's some people here. I mean, they've put on a show. I mean, they're trying to be positive. I'm not against that. I mean, they're trying to be positive, and they're trying to think, oh, praise God. I'm going to live for God. But on the inside, you feel like your life is over, and you're suffering. Your heart is broken. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what to do. Do I need to change churches? What do I need to do? You don't need to change churches. You need a touch. I said you need a touch. You need a touch from the hand of God. In times, I mean, I know I can't find them. We need the touch of God in suffering. That's all right, Brother Umberto. I can see far enough. I get far enough back. But we need the touch of God not only in suffering, but we need the touch of God, I mean, in satisfying. You read in verses number 13 through 21 where Jesus, he performed that great miracle, took 5 loaves of bread, 2 little fishes, and fed 5,000 men. You say, no, wait a minute, preacher. You say, you don't really believe that myth. It ain't a myth, it's a miracle. It ain't a myth, it's a miracle. And I say it not because I'm in the right company, because I'm telling you, I know the Baptist brethren. They can say whatever makes the folks shout as long as they're in the crowd, that they know what they're going to agree with. I don't say this because to make you shout, but I say this because I believe it. I am a Bible believer. I believe, is this a King James Version, buddy?
Yes, sir.
I figured it was. I believe that this book, listen to me carefully. I make a lot of the pastors, because we're on radio, we're on TV, we're over all the internet, everywhere like that. And some of the brethren, I heard a preacher one time say, well, we don't worship the Bible. We worship the God that wrote the Bible. And I thought, man, that's got to be the dumbest, stupidest, ignorant thing I ever heard in my life. How can any educated man say something like that? How can you worship God without the Bible? And I put it on TV. I put it over the internet. I put it on radio. I mean, everywhere. I challenged every church member in every Baptist church to take a copy of a King James Version Bible, walk up to their pastor on Sunday morning, and say, do you believe this book is God's inspired, infallible, inerrant words of the living God? And I said, if he hesitates, or if he says, well, I believe it's the closest, or I believe, you know, the original manuscripts, I said, you get your wife, you get your children, get your grandchildren, get out of that God-forsaken mess. I would not take my family, I would not take my wife, I would not take my children to a church where the church and the pastor does not believe this book is God's infallible. Hey, I want to tell you, you say, "Well, preacher, what about the original Hebrew man?" Hey, this book shines a lot of light on the original manuscripts. I knew I'd knock it out of some of you on that one. I knew I would. Amen. I say it without any kind of apology. I am a Bible believer. If this book says it, that settles it. It don't matter whether you believe it, I believe it, or anybody else believes it. If this book says it, that settles it one time, finally, and forever. I believe every miracle. Hey, you say, "Well, preacher, I just don't believe it." That's why you're going to hell. You say, I just don't believe Jesus took 5 loaves of bread, 2 little fishes, and fed 5,000 men. 5,000 people, I don't either. He took 5 fishes, 5 loaves of bread, and 2 little fishes, fed 5,000 men. Now, if all them men had, and don't you preachers jump on me, because I'm too old. If all them men had 2 to 5 wives and had 15 kids each, Jesus fed a multitude of somewhere between 250 to 500,000 to 1 million people with 5 loaves of bread and two little itty bitty fishes. You say, "Well, preacher," you say, "do you really believe that?" Oh, yeah, I believe that. Are you listening to me? Show me a saved, born-again, blood-washed child of God. They ain't got no problem in believing what that book says. There's a lot in that book I may not understand, but there ain't nothing in that book I do not believe. And what I don't understand, I'm just going to stand under and shout about it until Jesus comes back. You say, "What are you saying?" The Lord took 5 loaves of bread, 2 little fishes, and satisfied probably close to 500,000 people. The point is this. You say, "Preacher, you say there's something missing in my life. I'm trying to find myself." It's a hopeless cause, man. You said, "Preacher, I'm looking for something. I'm looking to fill up that empty spot, that void. I'm looking for something to make me happy. I'm looking for..." Did you realize, preacher, I tell you what, I have never seen a time in my life when it's so hard to satisfy the saints. Nothing you do can make them happy. Amen. I thought about this morning, preacher. If there's one thing, if I had one thing I could say to all the teenagers, all the kids, all the young people, if I had just one phrase, it would be this: Jesus Christ totally satisfies the hunger and the thirst and fills the empty spot in your heart. The Bible said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." You say, "Preacher, I tried it one time, but it just wasn't good for me." You just didn't get enough taste. Yeah. Right. Hey, I'm gonna tell you something. I mean, I got a pig. Really, I do. Had a cow, but it's hamburger now. I had 2 pigs. It's one of the best tasting communists I ever had for supper. Because I named him Bernie. But I got another pig. Really, folks, I'm telling you, I'm furthering my education, so I bought a pig. That'll work. Listen, if you ever get a real good taste, you know what's wrong with a lot of God's people? They're trying to survive off of the slop of the hog pen. If you ever get a real good taste of the bread of heaven, and you ever get a real good taste of that fountain that'll never run dry, the slop of this wicked, ungodly world will never, ever taste the same again. You say, "Well, preacher, I need something. There's a hole in my heart. I got an empty spot. What do I do?" I tell you what you do. Get to the altar and get a touch of God. Let the Lord just reach up that hand of faith and touch the hem of His garment. And I want to tell you, He'll satisfy the hunger and the thirst and the emptiness. this in your heart and in your life. Touch of God. Well, let me hurry. The touch of God and satisfying. Verse number 22 through 25, the touch of God, the storm. The Lord came. The Lord, I'm just going to go ahead and narrow it down because I want to just look at a couple more. The touch of God in the storm. Anybody here in a storm? You in a storm? I mean, the disciples was in a storm, and here Jesus upon a mountain, and the disciples in a storm. The Bible said in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came walking unto them on the water. You say, Preach, you really believe that? Well, of course I do. Amen. If the Bible had said Jesus came on a boogie board behind a bass boat, I'd have believed that. Amen? Yeah. But I'll notice right quickly two, maybe, and I'm just going to get them to you real quick and I'm done. But the touch of God of a servant in doubt. Now, this is going to be just a flip side of something I don't know maybe you ever thought about. Look in verse number 28. The Bible said, and Peter answered him, talking about the Lord, and said, Lord, if it be thou. Now, you think about what I'm getting ready to say. For the simple reason, you know, and I'm not belittling Peter. We talk about, well, Peter was the only one that had the faith to get out of the boat. Think about what that. He said, if thou be, if it be thou, if it be thou. Did you know what Jesus, you know what the devil said to Jesus on the mountain of temptation? If thou be the Son of God. Yeah. You know what that religious lost crowd said to Jesus when he was on the cross? If thou be the Son of God. Everybody talks about what a great man of faith Peter was. But did you realize Peter was the only one that showed any kind of doubt? He said, Lord, if. You say, well, preacher, he got out of the boat. Yeah, I know, but he still doubted. Some of you looking at me like, I ain't never heard that before. The hero of the story, it's not Peter walking on the water. Amen. The hero of the story is the master of the sea. Amen. Picking up a doubting servant when he's sinking in the water. I guarantee you, I'm no prophet, I'm no great man, I'm no great anything, I'm a sinner saved by the grace, but I guarantee you we got people in this building right here right now, you're drowning in doubt. Now don't get real holy on me, preachers. And I've been in this thing for 43 years. I was a novice when I started out, but I ain't a novice no more, preacher. I mean, 38 years preaching, 36 years pastor in the same Baptist church. And I've learned something. Preacher, are you ever guilty? Are you ever guilty of driving home on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and you look up to God and said, hey, God, remember me? Hey, God, why are you hiding? Hey, God, God, it sure would be good if you'd help us out a little bit down here. Don't give me that bunch of stuff. Amen? You said, preacher, what do you do? I guarantee you we got some in this building right now. Right now, there's some in this building. You doubt. You said, preacher, I don't really know if I'm saved or not. I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. There's probably some in here you doubt whether God called you to preach or whatever the God's wants you to do in your life. You say, well, preacher, you say, what do I do? You get along with God and you get the touch of God. You let God touch you. Amen? Preacher, can I get one more? Okay. The touch of God. I like this one. The touch of God in worship. Look in verse number 33. The Bible said, and they, when they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Folks, Independent Baptist Church, you listen to me. We ought to just have ourselves a worship service. Preacher, I'm fed up with Independent Baptists letting the stinking charismatics rob us, steal from us, and keep us from shouting, hey, it's biblical to raise your hands. Am I all right, preacher? It's scriptural to raise your hands in worship. It's scripture to shout amen. It's biblical to fall on our faces, not backwards. That's evil. The only people that ever fell backwards were the people that were coming to crucify our Lord. It's biblical to fall on our knees with our faces to the earth and lift up our hands to God and worship. I've made up my mind, Brother Humberto, I'm not letting nobody steal my shout. I'm not letting nobody stand in my way. Hey, folks, the God that we serve, He's a great God. There's no God like our God. Our God is the true God and the living God. Our God clothed Himself in a human body. Our God came to this earth, born of a virgin, died on the cross, rose again from the dead, coming back to get, Lord, have mercy. We ought to have ourselves a worship service. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. We ought to worship Him. You say, oh, preacher, people think we're cares. Who gives a rip? I'm too old, and I know you are too, preacher. We're too old to be swayed by public opinion. I don't give a rip. Amen. Charismatics ain't gonna stop me from worshiping. It's why, you know why? It's biblical. Preacher, I want to tell you something. It's a shame and disgrace when Americans have to go to Mexico to learn how to worship.
That's true, preacher.
That's a shame. Amen? Yes. We serve a great God, folks. I said we serve, there's no God like our God. There's nobody like Jesus Christ. There ain't nobody. We got, there's no book like that book. Lord, if anybody's got a right to shout and get excited and praise God and worship God, it's the people of the living God. We're somebody, folks. I said we're somebody. We're children of the living God. Going somewhere. We got something to shout about until we get there. Number six, you ought to bring you sick. Preacher, I'm glad I had an old grandma. The Bible said there in the last verses, I just read the context, and I'm done. The Bible said they brought them that were sick. And the Bible said they brought them to Jesus that they just might reach out and touch the hem of His garment. And when they touched, immediately they were made whole. My neighbors called me, and I was wicked as hell. They called me the little heathen that lived upon the hill. And I remember hearing it many times. Hey, little heathen up there, if you don't change, you're going to wind up in prison, jail, or hell. And they were right. They were right. And everybody gave up, said he'll never change. But I'm glad I had an old grandma. I had an old grandma that just bring me to the altar and just lay me down at the feet of Jesus. Amen. You know who the first person I talked to when I got saved? I stopped at my grandma's house. You say, why is that, preacher? She's the one that just kept bringing me to Jesus. Amen. Thank God for that night. When Jesus passed by my way and I reached out that hand of faith and He changed my life forever.
Amen. Let's stand, please. I don't think we really need any music, but we'll let them play it. But I think you ought to get to the altars and Might be a time tonight God's wanting to touch somebody. Maybe the very thing you need to hear and feel tonight has happened. Will you respond to it? Father, we thank you for the message. We thank you as we go back in our memory and realize, Lord, there was a time you had to touch us. Religion wouldn't do it. Good works wouldn't do it. But you did it. And we thank you for that. Father, there might be somebody here unsaved tonight. Maybe the world says there's no hope for them like they did with Brother Googe. But they could come to Jesus tonight. Prove the world wrong. Get a touch from him. Could be somebody here just got rid of their doubts tonight. Been drowning in that sea of doubt. But they know you've touched them. They know it's real. Help them to get that assurance tonight. Bless the invitation, Lord, what you've spoken to somebody in their heart and ask them to do. I pray they'll yield to you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see.